time for the new GM.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. General Motors heads to bankruptcy court today. But unlike Chrysler's bankruptcy proceedings, which were appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, GM is hoping for a quick approval. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
The government-backed plan calls for the automaker to sell its best assets to the new GM, with the U.S. government holding a majority stake. Chevrolet and Cadillac would survive the transition. GM would shed its Hummer, Saturn, and Pontiac brands, as well as any dealer contracts. Bondholders and some state officials worried about the economic effects of the deal could still slow the proceedings. Their attorneys will have a chance to question GM's CEO today. But experts expect any challenges to be short-lived, given the fact that the same court already approved the Chrysler sale earlier this month. Over the weekend, GM agreed to take responsibility for any future legal claims related to vehicles made by the old company, a move that resolved one of the key objections to the sale. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Wall Street did a little buying yesterday. The S&P and Dow gained around 1%. The Dow closed at 85.29, up more than 90 points. NASDAQ didn't fare as well, adding only 0.33%. Overseas stocks have been mixed today. In Asia, the Nikkei was up 1.8%, and Hong Kong's Hang Seng lost a little, closed 0.75% lower. In Europe, not much movement right now. Markets are pretty much flat. The European Union says countries using the euro saw consumer prices fall about 0.1% in the year to June, the first negative inflation rate in at least a decade. And European Union antitrust authorities today extended the deadline for their review of U.S. drug maker Pfizer's $68 billion takeover plan for rival Wyeth. The European Commission extended the review deadline to July 20th from July 6th to consider remedies offered to address competition concerns.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter. People are talking about business and the economy at Gather.com.
This is kind of a macabre thought, but celebrity deaths are big business. Take, for example, entertainment magazines. A famous person's mortality can boost sales by tens of thousands of copies. But Michael Jackson's death came at a bad time for celebrity rags such as People, In Touch, and U.S. Weekly. They'd just gone to press on this week's issues and had to post online updates. And the magazine called OK is the first of its kind to hit newsstands today, but it won't be basking in the limelight either, as Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
The celebrity rags have been beaten to the newsstands. Time and Newsweek just published Michael Jackson issues. Abdul Chowdhury is a newsagent in Midtown Manhattan. He's sold 20 copies of Time's special issue so far, as opposed to the usual 2 or 3.
This is selling very good now.
Each costs a dollar more than its regular cover price. Samir Husni directs the magazine Innovation Center at the University of Mississippi. He says Jackson's death is a bigger deal to Times and Newsweek's readers because of their age. They remember Jackson, the pop sensation. In Touch and Us Weekly fans, on the other hand.
He's the person with all kinds of problems. So there's not as much following.
He says the celebrity magazines will still sell well. The lives and deaths of the rich and famous are their specialty after all. But for once, their more sober rivals have an edge. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The movie Transformers just keeps making money. The mega hits raked in more than $200 million since its release, and all told, it's a big hit for one Hollywood studio. All part of the ebbs and flows of movie making in a town that thrives or dies by the all-powerful movie ticket. This morning we're talking with Michael Spire, news editor for TheWrap.com. And Michael, this is the summer movie season. We're supposed to be talking about how rosy the picture is for studios, but that's not necessarily the case.
Right, and especially for the studio that made Transformers, which is Paramount. Paramount specifically is a very, very unique studio because they might have two of the three biggest movies of the summer in Transformers and Star Trek, yet they're having major problems.
So, I mean, they have these huge franchises, right? Star Trek and Transformers. I mean, what's the problem?
Well, the biggest problem could be summed up in one movie star's name, and that's Eddie Murphy, because he was in a movie also this summer for Paramount called Imagine That, which was such a huge disaster. I think it opened with only $5 million. Now, people might say, well, they still have major, major franchises and making tons of money. That's true on some of their movies, but they put a lot of stock in summer. And there's five Paramount summer movies. Two of them are huge, which we just mentioned. The other three, Imagine That, Dance Flick, and the upcoming Buzz Killer, G.I. Joe, might not be so huge, and that's going to bring the profits down.
But I thought in these days of economic recession, this was an escape outlet, that Hollywood was sort of recession-proof, that people want to get out and not think about how much money they don't have and spend, you know, 10, 12 bucks and go see a movie.
That's absolutely true. And the box office is up. The whole year's box office is up. It's the one industry that people are looking to saying, look, it's doing well. So when a movie clicks, it's wonderful. The problem is not every movie clicks, and if it's expensive and it doesn't click, it can wipe out an entire studio. It can certainly wipe out a lot of jobs, which recently happened to Paramount because the head of Paramount, John Lesher, got replaced, and the head of production, Brad Weston, got replaced.
So what does a movie studio do then besides replacing these high-level guys? Do they scale back? Do they not spend as much money on movies?
Well, that's a very interesting quandary that they're in, and it's something that they've been looking towards. I mean, Disney last year decided to cut the amount of movies that they were going to make. They were going to specifically stick with things that are almost slam dunks. Of course, they can't predict what's going to hit and miss, but if they make fewer movies but make them bigger movies, there's almost a guarantee that they can have at least management over how they do.
So what do we know that's coming down the pike from Paramount?
Well, Paramount is lucky enough to have two huge directors coming down the pike. Martin Scorsese with Shutter Island, which stars Leonardo DiCaprio, sounds wonderful. And Peter Jackson, who hasn't been heard from in a while, and he has The Lovely Bones, which is based on a best-selling book. So it sounds great. The problem is if one of them misses, they don't have anything else in the hopper until 2010.
All right. News editor Michael Spire for TheWrap.com. Michael, thanks.
Pleasure.
Hope you can join us at our website, where our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, is there to help you share your thoughts with us, marketplace.org. That's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.